name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. St. Matthew in his Gospel today instructs us that the eye of the heart, the noose, that center of our being through which we encounter daily life in this world, and also that faculty that God has put into every single one of us that gives us the capacity to hear his voice, to see him, to set our minds on heavenly things, to be in communion with him, that spiritual side of your inner man, not just that part of your intellect that enables you to reason and calculate and feel emotions and things like that, but that aspect of your inner man that is the vehicle through which we can have intimate communion with the one who made us. The noose. It's a very, very important aspect of your humanity. You got one. Every one of you do. You may not think you do, but you do. It might be cloudy a little bit, because sin does cloud the noose up. I know my noose gets cloudy on a regular basis, and it has to be cleaned up through confession and repentance. But by the grace and mercy of God, there even, that can be that part of my humanity and of your humanity can continue to function and bring God's grace to us and mercy to us, and that is what we need. That is what is the one thing needful. The one thing needful. And today we're reminded that we have to get our priorities straight if we're going to walk with God. If we're going to know him, to be his people, we've got to be serious about what's going on inside of our inner man, the inner man of the heart. And so today we are told by St. Matthew in his gospel, our Lord rather says in the gospel of St. Matthew, that this noose determines whether our inner man is full of light or darkness. Is it light or is it dark? The early church, you know, there were some writings known as the two ways material. We find it in at least two places that I know of, patristically, or in the early writings of the church. The way of light or the way of darkness. The way of life or the way of death. Two paths that fork in the road. It's always there. It's always there for you and for me every single day. It's not this notion that some have that, you know, you pray a prayer and you're sincere and you're saved and it's over with. We know that salvation is a dynamic reality, not a static reality. No, we continually have to make the choice of whom we will love, whom we will serve, what will be our priorities, where will our treasure be? Continually, every single day you wake up, you got to make that decision. With whom will I walk today? Whom will I serve today? What's today going to be like? Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. What about today? If this spiritual faculty, this noose, is in communion with God and therefore full of light, the light of God, our lives will be filled with the virtues of God. It will not be our own doing. Anything good comes from the Father of lights, St. Paul tells us. Anything good that is in us comes from God. On the other hand, though, if we are consumed by the cares of this world and the anxieties, I should say, plural, that accompanies these things, then the peace and the love of God will be absent from our lives. And it's that simple. St. Matthew nails one of the essentials of our relationship with God here. He says, our Lord does, and that being trust. Trust. Such a simple word, such a simple concept, and such, in some ways, a simple reality. Easily said, not so easily done. And this is true in any relationship, even between human beings. It is particularly true in our relationship with God, because we do not see him in the flesh now. That's where faith comes in. The substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. That definition, that operational definition of faith, you know, from the world standpoint, doesn't make much sense. But the great equalizer in that equation is the Holy Spirit, given to you and to me. He bridges that gap of understanding, that experiential gap. He helps us to become whole again. But we've got to give our consent to that. You have a free will. Each and every one of us has a free will, and so every day we have to exercise that. We have to be focused. If we are going to have this kind of a relationship with God that leads to the kingdom of God and salvation. So in today's gospel, we find this laundry list of anxieties. What shall I eat? What shall I wear? Where will I live? When these concerns supersede our desire to seek the kingdom of heaven and his right and God's righteousness, we are on the wrong path. If he can provide for the animals and the plants of his creation, can he not provide for the crown of his creation, mankind? You and I, dearly beloved, having been made out of nothing, have been made in the image of God. We have the potential to be like him. Instead of being overly concerned about the cares of this world, and all of the sins that are propelled out of that kind of fixation. So such an assurance is ours only if we believe and if we trust in the one who made us every single day. You know, sometimes we have to say, I believe, O Lord, help thou my unbelief. What a wonderful passage. What a beautiful gift we have been given in that one verse. I believe, O Lord, help thou my unbelief. How many times have I said that? Sometimes he even helps us to believe. He will help you, but you got to do something. You've got to do your part. We all do. St. Paul in our epistle today takes this powerful truth a step further. He states that we are justified before God by faith, which leads to peace with God as opposed to enmity with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because this growth or this process of maturation will take place in us apart, cannot take place in us apart from the struggle of daily life. So these sweet fruits of the Holy Spirit to which St. Paul alludes early on in this passage in our epistle reading today are accompanied by what? Tribulations, which give rise to what? Perseverance, which gives rise to what? Character, which gives rise to what? Hope. A hope that is a living hope. A hope that we actually, through the Holy Spirit, is more than just, you know, wishing upon a star, flipping a coin, or throwing a coin into a fountain. It's a real hope. It's God's voice in your noose whispering to you, I am here. I am with you. I will never leave you. A real hope, a hope that does not disappoint. A hope that is from God himself. A hope that is alive in us. And it will not disappoint. So much of this that I'm saying today, of course I'm always saying it first and foremost to myself, but so much of this requires focus. It requires our being focused on the things that are really important. Archbishop Averke, in his wonderful book, The Struggle for Virtue, writes, thus it is necessary to live as much as is possible in such a manner as to shield one's heart in every way from receiving any kind of harmful impressions through the sensory organs. The opposite of an attentive life is the distracted and destructive life which most people today lead. People who are heedless of the purity of their heart and life. Both the scriptures and the Holy Fathers caution us against a distracted life. The Lord Jesus Christ himself warning us against a distracted life and encouraging us to an attentive life said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Matthew 26, verse 41. "And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Mark 13, 37. St. Ignatius Brionkonenov writes, "Sons of the world see distractions as innocent, but the Holy Fathers see it as the beginning of all evil." So one might ask, why is distraction so harmful? Archbishop Averke writes, "It is quite obvious. A distracted person is not capable of being vigilant in regard to himself. He is constantly preoccupied with things outside of himself. How can he observe his own heart when the main object of his attention is not his inner life, but the events of the outside world? He is not concerned with reducing the influx of external impressions, but on the contrary, lives entirely for those external impressions. His inner life interests him little or not at all. His greatest interest is in the external life, the surrounding world, and thus he gives free rein to his senses." So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us examine our hearts continually, making sure that we are entrusting every aspect of our lives to God and seeking his kingdom above all else. Let us trust God. I'll tell you another big aspect of this, a corollary of trust is contentment. St. Paul wrote that contentment is a means of great gain, or that godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. You know, so much of our angst comes from our refusal to be content. We need to learn to be content with what we have, who we are, and be thankful instead of being anxious. Let us seek his kingdom above all else, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us focus on those things that will affect our salvation and life eternal. And by the grace and mercy of God, let our inner man be renewed, even though our outer man is decaying. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.